Hello everyone, welcome to Toonami Therapy on April 9th of 2024. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And this is our podcast, Toonami Therapy, where we talk about anime and other things we've been watching, some of which is in fact on Toonami. So, I guess we can just get right into it. We'll start with the Toonami series as usual. Mm-hmm. We still do not know what the Licorice Recoil replacement is, even though it ends this Saturday. Sometimes they're kind of last minute with it, but they'll probably announce and advertise it this Saturday. Wasn't there a time where we legitimately didn't find out a new series until I think a few days before it aired?
Yeah, I think so. I forget what that was though.
Yeah, but I do definitely remember that being the case. Anyway.
Yeah.
So. All right. So basically, we're on Ninja Kamui Episode 9. So our main characters end up... Yeah, they were going to go fight one of the bad guys, and they do fight them. But then one of the other bad guys basically says, haha, I had a bomb in that guy, so I'm going to blow him up and kill you. And then Emma/Asuka, whichever you refer to her as, makes a heroic sacrifice to save the others and dies. And unlike a few episodes ago, we're pretty sure she actually did die this time because we got the flashback just before she died.
Yeah.
But it might pull another surprise. Who knows? But that's apparently the case. She dies, and the other characters are like, "All right, now we have more reason for revenge, I guess."
Yeah.
And that essentially was the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well. I'm not huge on the fact that they apparently killed off the character that I actually was the most interested in, but it was better than if she had died three episodes ago or whatever that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of just an average episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have too much to say about it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, neither do I.
Okay, we move on. Zom 100... Episode 2. So, our main character, whose name... Let me see. Akira. That's his name. So, he decides to go out and get beer. And he also happens to encounter some people who are still alive and not killed by the zombies. But, spoiler alert, they get killed later on. In what you said was one of the most obvious things, I think, they could have done. So, he gets the beer, he meets this girl, the girl says, okay, you're being dumb if you're just risking yourself for beer. That's the case. Of course, zombies attack, I'm suddenly trying to remember. I know the zombies attack and he tries to defend her, but then we switch to the flashback from her perspective. But I'm trying to remember what exactly was the result of that part there. Did we actually just skip past it and then we went into it, or am I? No, he did get out. That was it. They both leave after that. Okay, it's coming back to me. Yeah. Sorry. So they both get away, although separately, and then we get to flashback to basically see what she was doing and what she was thinking during all of that, and then, yeah, that was basically our episode.
Yeah. Aside from that very obvious part, where it was like, okay, we could see that coming a mile away. I don't know. I don't have many thoughts on this episode. I I'm still trying to figure out whether it's supposed to be a comedy or it's supposed to be serious or both, because it's kind of towing the line between those two. But
Wikipedia for its genres lists comedy, horror, and dystopian and zombie apocalypse. So it does say comedy, horror.
Yeah, so I was asking you, what started the whole zombie apocalypse genre? You know, and you gave me a good answer. I just forget. It was like...
So there's kind of two ways to... two things you could count towards. There's I Am Legend, which was a book from the 1950s, which had a lot of things like the zombie apocalypse you see, but they're all vampires. So it's a vampire story about that. You can date it back to there. But the one that you would really say is more zombies, even though they actually weren't ever called zombies in the movie, is Night of the Living Dead. Which actually the director said, yes, I basically took all the ideas from I Am Legend. So Night of the Living Dead, yeah, that's the 1960s. Although, like I said, they weren't called zombies. They were called ghouls, and I think in the film, but somehow they just got called zombies. And I think they got called that in the sequels. It's really weird that the word zombie has come to be the synonymous term for undead, because originally, it kind of was there. The original word zombie comes from like Haitian folklore, where it's supposedly it is like a dead body reanimated by like some like sort of magical practice or whatever. But now that's not at all it's dead bodies come to life, but whatever we have for zombies nowadays is very far from any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a famous zombie movie that was filmed in a mall very close to me. It was called Dawn of the Dead, and that was a very famous zombie movie, and people still visit that mall just for the memory. So yeah,
I remember. Did you ever read? I didn't read much of it, but there's a book called The Zombie Survival Guide, which is basically this book to tell you how to survive a zombie apocalypse.
No, never read that.
It was by the same. I think it was by the same person who wrote World War Z. Let me double check on that. Let's see. Yeah, he wrote World War Z, which is an actual story. The Zombie Survival Guide is just gives information about zombies. Well, like, you know, in the continuity, you could say it takes place in, and how to survive them. It includes things like being warning to be careful when using something like, it says the day it, I remember this. It was saying the problem with using a jet plane is that they're very noisy and they can only land in certain places. So the zombies may overrun you if they're nearby. Helicopters are preferable to this because they can land anywhere. But again, the noise is likely to bring any zombies, and it recommends using hot air balloons or blimps to travel around during a zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yes. Oh, I guess I did skip over the one important thing in this episode, which is that he does decide to make the big list of all the things that he wants to do in life before any zombie kills him, which I think is a major part of the series. So, I mean, it is called Zom 100 Bucket List of the Dead.
Yeah, I just don't understand how he's going to do any of those things. You know, if everyone is undead, then I guess that's supposed to be the joke, but it's a little, I don't know, stretching it a little bit.
All right. Yes, this episode didn't really do too much other than, I guess, introduce I can't remember. I don't know if we even learned her name, but I know she's an important character because she's on the cover of the first volume.
That's always a good sign, isn't it? Well, I take that back. I can think of one manga whose main character didn't make it past episode one. So,
I know what you're talking about. And by the way, they are totally on the cover of the first volume too. I don't want to say it because it's a spoiler. Just know it's an anime that aired last year, and that should be enough to let you that should be enough to let you narrow it down if you know what it is, and it won't spoil you if it is. And anyway, so right after that, we've got Licorice Recoil episode 12. All right, so basically they manage to, so let's see if I remember correctly. All right, so Yoshimatsu tells Chisato that, he wants her to have the artificial heart, but he implanted it in himself so to make it so that she would have to kill him to get it, because he wanted her to get over, you know, her conniptions about killing people and, you know, kill people. So that was basically his goal there. And there, so we have that. Chisato ends up facing up against Majima at the end. Then the whole thing with all the licorice is covered up because they say, oh, it's just all a promotion for some ride at a place or something. And everyone's like, oh, that's all it was. And I'm thinking, but people died. You saw them. Like, you could at least say, oh, the videos were fake or whatever. But no, like there was a police officer who got shot. There were all those guns around. How do they cover that up? I don't get it.
And there were so much shooting in this episode, and like no one died from any of these shots. Like Takina didn't die, Chisato didn't die, Majima didn't die. It was like, I guess I know Chisato was using those bullets that magically keep people alive. But still, it was just, there was just so much shooting, and it felt empty to me, because I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really matter if you get shot, because nothing bad's going to happen to you. So,
there's one other thing I wanted to mention, which is because they mention in this episode, they're talking about, okay, if we can't cover this up, we're going to have to go and kill the licorice or whatever. And they were going to have the Lilybell do it, who really all we know about is that it's described as it's kind of like a boy version of licorice. And then, except they don't do anything because everything gets resolved, so they don't have to go in. And I'm just thinking, that was a little weird that they introduce this plot point and then don't do anything with it in the series, really. So, I don't know, maybe I know we're going to get a continuation for this series. I don't know if it's going to be a movie or an OVA or a new season, but they're having something. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll do something with that then. But it is a little weird that they introduce that and don't really do much with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I'm not enjoying this as much as I did the first time I watched it. I'm not sure why, but I don't know. I can't figure out why I don't really like it as much. Maybe, and it's not even that I know what's coming, because I've forgotten enough details that things still surprise me. But I feel like maybe if I went back and reviewed it, I might give it a lower score than whenever I gave it. I don't even know what I gave it. I'll have to look that up. But,
Yes, I have to also agree. I feel like I enjoyed this more the first time around. Now, it's a little hard for me to remember everything, but I definitely feel like that was the case. So, but I mean, it's still enjoyable, just not quite as much. I feel like more, it's like things bug me more than they did before. Because before I'm pretty sure I thought, oh, well, how did they manage to... It's a little convenient they were able to just say, oh, it was just a promotion. But this time, because I remembered that was how they covered it up, I especially noticed in past episodes, oh, no, like, people actually died. There were shootings in public. How do you cover that up? You can, like, if people just got injured, maybe you could, but how do you do it with the case like that? Are they just going to pay people off, or how are they going to do it? It just felt like it didn't really explain that, and they could have solved it by just not having people clearly die in public.
Yeah.
Okay. So
kind of like this reminds me of how the Eminence and Shadow, like in one of its early episodes, where like Alexia like slaughtered Sid, and then they said it was the bodiless murder. And I was like, well, okay, so he died, but everyone thought someone died, but nothing happened. So how does she not know he's got some sort of powers? I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about this. It's like, you should be able to figure it out just from what's happened, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, after that, we've got One Piece episode 660. In this episode, we continue with the flashback. To summarize it, Doflamingo makes everyone think the king went crazy and took money and tried to kill them. Then he shows up to save and, like, feigns saving everyone so they like him, allowing him to take control of the kingdom. We do know that he did spare the king's life because his daughter, Viola, who had the power to see the future or something, said that she'd work for Doflamingo if he was spared. And then you find out Viola became, what was her name? It was a similar name. The girl Sanji spent some time with. I can't remember, but now I can't remember what her modern day name is.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Like Violetta, something like that. Let me see if I can find this. Let's see. Violet. That's it. Violet. That's okay. What she goes by now. Yes. Anyway, so we finish the flashback. The Thunder Soldier, apparently that's his name, the Toy Soldier, whatever, says that basically he reiterates the point, yes, people are being turned into toys and everyone forgets who they are when that happens.
Well, who forgets who they are? Like, does the toy forget, or do the people?
When someone gets turned into a toy, everyone else forgets they ever existed.
Okay, I see.
So, that's how it's been established as happening. Also, they apparently can be controlled, though we don't know the specifics of all of those. Anyway, we also get some backstory stuff on the Tentata, and then everyone's going to, go with the plan. I don't know when we'll actually get to that, because it's the One Piece anime, but yes, that is essentially the main plot of this episode. I actually think this is a decent enough story. This episode was not, it's so sad to say, well, it was padded, but it wasn't as padded as usual. Yeah. That's where we are in the One Piece anime. But yeah, the story's decent. It's just, I wish this would be paced like pretty much every other adaptation of a weekly manga series where, you know, this would all be done in everything in this episode would be in half of an episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very slow. And these flashbacks, like, I still don't understand why these people, while they're being controlled, aren't saying, "Help, I'm being controlled." Mm-hmm. You know, they just allow themselves to be controlled and don't do a thing about it. So it's like, well, maybe it is partially your fault, because you could have at least let people know that there was some sort of force working against you, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, I kind of hope the series, how much more of Dressrosa do we have, honestly? Let me see. We've got, okay, there's still a lot to go. Mm-hmm. We've got, I'll just say that at a rate of one episode per week, it's going to take more than a year to get through the rest.
Of this arc?
Of this arc.
Oh, my.
Dressrosa was a long arc in the manga. It's going to feel even longer in the anime.
Yeah, it's going to feel really long.
I legitimately don't know how. I haven't watched it, but Wano, that's the arc. This is Alabasta. The arc after this one is Whole Cake Island, then Wano. I think there might be there's a mini arc between them, but Wano just went on way too long in the manga. And mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, I can't even imagine how bad that would be to watch in anime form, especially because the padding gets worse.
Mm-hmm. It'll take like 100 episodes.
Wano? Oh, no. Let me actually check, because I think they finally finished that. Let's see. Wano. How long is the Wano arc in it? Wano ran for, I think there was actually a period of a few months where the One Piece anime went on hiatus, but the Wano arc lasted, according to this, let's see, I'll just give the episode count, 197 episodes.
Oof. Yikes.
Yes, I know. 197 episodes. Just
wow, so... So basically, that would take us 4 years, pretty much, to get through that at one episode a week, mm-hmm. just about.
Yes, just to put things into perspective, I just want to mention. So Wano was 197 episodes. Now, to be fair, that might be counting some sort of preparatory or post arc material that you might not normally consider part of it. Let me just take a quick look at some of these. Yeah, 197. I think there might have been a few like filler episodes in there. But yeah, to put into perspective, 197 episodes for Wano. Dragon Ball Z, the whole series, the original Dragon Ball Z series, I want to stress, this isn't mm-hmm. Kai where they took out the padding and stuff. That was 291. So that one arc is about two-thirds the length of Dragon Ball Z anime.
Wow. One arc.
What?
One arc.
Yep, Wano. It was a very, very long arc.
Wow.
I'll just say, I'm sorry, I'm talking about the manga, not the anime. I did read that in manga form, and just midway through, so basically, the arc begins with, without getting into too much detail, Luffy fights like a major villain and loses. So mm-hmm. then the rest of the arc is, you know, having to deal with that and, you know, get back together, get the necessary power-ups, fight them, beat them, all that stuff. And I just, midway through, kept thinking, I just wish Luffy had just beaten him and then they sailed on to the next island. Okay, enough about that. I didn't hear what you said.
I was just laughing.
Oh, okay. All right. So that is all of our Toonami series. All right. We've got Shangri-La Frontier, episode 19. So they managed to beat the boss, and then one of the I can't remember how many there are, but the super unique, dangerous boss monsters. What were there? Like 7 of them? Anyway, they beat that. We get some resolution of the in-story game. The in-game story with that. They do get told, hey, you should go and find Bahamut. And no one knows what Bahamut actually is in the game. It all gets announced to everyone and... let's see. Yeah, there's a bunch of reactions to that. Ultimately, yeah, the main characters get, like, the loots and stuff. Ultimately, basically, though, Rei as a Saiger... Wait, is she Saiger 100 or Saiger 0? Which one is which? The other one is her sister, but I don't know which one has which number. Whatever, the person with the crush on Sunraku who's got the big armor stuff. She shows up to them. Arthur Pencilgon is like, okay, why don't we fight? Because I don't know, some sort of explanation of PKing and stuff. They fight, and then it looks like Rei wins. It's not 100% clear, and that is our episode. This episode is weird in that I enjoyed it when I watched it, and then looking back I was thinking, wow, not really that much happened, did it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was confused, why did Pencilgon have to fight? Like, what was that fight all about?
The implication I got was it was some way of apparently something they had in the game about PKing was that if you do a bunch of stuff, I don't know. I think if you die, it wipes your slate clean somehow. It wasn't exactly clear. And I think part of it was also just wanting to fight Saiger, Zero Saiger. Okay, I need to check. Which one is it? Okay, Rei is Saiger 0. Got it. It's her sister who's Saiger 100. Okay.
Which one is the one with the crush on Shinraku?
0. Saiger 0.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad she showed up because of the fact that because she, like, was introduced really as seemingly really important at the start, and she's in... featured pretty prominently in the theme song, but hasn't really done that much in the series. So maybe we'll be getting more. Anyway, I guess you could just say this is a wrap-up episode for the fight.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good, though. I enjoyed it, so... I like the dialogue and people going back and forth.
That's always fun. That's pretty consistently the best part of the show. The characters that you say going back and forth, because the interactions are funny. All right, we'll go to my teen romantic comedy snafu, episode 20. Oh, that's weird. I wrote down 20. Eight, but I wrote down 29, but this should be 28. So, anyway, yes. So basically, Yukino and her sister talk about family stuff because she's moving back, except then maybe she won't be around anymore. And look, I'll be honest, I have been consistently very confused about what exactly Yukino's family drama is about, because it's pretty consistently one of the least interesting things in the show to me.
Yeah, it's so cryptic. Everything is so cryptic in this new season. And ever since that final scene of the second season, I can't figure out what... like, there just seems to be something missing. Like, okay, what am I not seeing that's going on here, you know?
Yeah. But the more interesting part, I guess, is the fact that one of I can never remember people's names outside of like the three main characters, but the person who became the student council president, she wants to set, I think that was her. It was. She wanted to set up some kind of a prom dance for the school. And for the first time I discovered, where the term term prom comes from, promenade, which I never knew before. I don't know. And she wants to set it up. And basically, I guess they're going to help her with it. So, yeah, I don't have too much. There's that. That part was more interesting, at least so far. It involved the characters interacting and not all the family drama that I still don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like something's missing, and I can't figure out what it is. And then I can't figure out, like, what their objections were to having a prom. Like, they were, like, really against it, and then all of a sudden Yukino's like, okay, let's do it. And it didn't make any sense to me. I'm having such a hard time figuring out these characters. And I've always had problems with this series, but usually it's been good enough for me to overlook those. And now I can't really overlook it anymore. And I feel like it's just something's missing, and I feel stupider because of it.
Yeah, I've been kind of confused about some of these things also, so I'm kind of glad it's not just me who's having that issue. But yeah, I mean, I understood the second half, or once he got past like what I just keep calling family drama. That's the thing, because I thought the episode was decent, but we were at that point and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I don't get this because I wasn't paying the right attention. But that's because, again, I feel like all of this family drama stuff with Yukino is one of the least interesting parts of the series.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And then what was that scene at the end where she pulls out the picture and then she's like, Yui pulls out the picture and then she's all upset. I didn't get that. Maybe it was that she assumed that meant that that Yukino and Hachiman are in love or something like that. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, maybe we can get this some actual ROM in this supposed rom-com. This is legitimately one of a series with a romantic comedy title. This is legitimately as some of the least romance, at least among the main characters, that I've ever seen. I legitimately feel like the first episode of Kaguya-sama had more romance stuff in it than this whole series has up until this point.
Yeah, and it's got romantic in the title.
Yeah. I mean, it tries for comedy. It's a bit hit or miss on that respect, but there just is not much of a focus on romantic part, I feel. Maybe we're moving into that now, three seasons in.
Maybe.
Okay. So, we've got, so that's our cue to going to a series that actually is a bit more of a romantic comedy, which is Full Metal Panic Fumofu episode 11.
Okay, so Sosuke kind of discovers these guys using the SED to develop photos. And I have to admit, I thought the joke was going to, even though I've seen it, see, you have to understand, I saw this before, but it's been well over 10 years since I saw it. I realized that this week. I'm like, wow, it's been a really long time since I saw this. But I thought the joke was going to be that they were taking pictures of girls who didn't want to get their pictures taken or something. But that wasn't the joke at all. Instead, it was that they needed a room for their club. And then all of a sudden, all of these different clubs need rooms for them, which I'm thinking, like, how many clubs do they have that they ran out of rooms? But anyway, so the social studies club decides to have this contest, whichever club can get the most girls win their club room. And of course, you know, you can figure that Sosuke is going to find some underhanded way of doing it. And in fact, he does, by capturing girls in cells. And when Kaname finds out, she gets probably the angriest I've ever seen her, and really goes at her. Finally, they do it, and the karate club guy who we met in an earlier episode, he gets the most because he pretended to save these girls from people who were actually just his fellow karate club members. And then Sosuke had this bet that if he couldn't get one woman with him, he would have to go swim naked. So he didn't get anyone, thanks to Kaname. But then Kaname comes up to be the hero by dressing up in a kimono and somehow fooling everyone. Like, everyone. She fools everyone. And so she saves Sosuke from that problem. And then we have a nice little romantic scene with them, because Sosuke can't figure out that she's actually Kaname until she reveals it to him. And that's how the episode ends.
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty funny episode. It wasn't it wasn't as like good as the previous one, but we're still funny. Like you mentioned, how does no one recognize Kaname? She was dressed differently, but I was just thinking, oh, so she just showed up and she's going to say that she's with Sosuke and that'll be it. And I was surprised that no one was recognizing her. I thought she was just appearing as herself because she had such a little disguise on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was a little surprised that if they were going to go with that, they could have put her in a little more of a disguise, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that I didn't get how everyone got fooled, but I guess people are stupid, so that's the moral of the story. So, yeah.
All right. So, we have one more episode of the series, and then we'll be going into the, I don't know if it technically is considered a second or third season, but the one after this, which is,
The Second Raid.
Second Raid, okay. I was trying to remember its name. Okay, but we'll deal with that when we finish with this. All right, so then we have their last one, Dark Gathering, Episode 6. So, they decide to basically were... You know, I can't remember exactly why they were there. Were they going camping? Was that it?
Yeah, I think they went camping for some reason.
Okay. Well, they were going there. Then Aiko basically gets, well, not technically possessed, but controlled by a spirit. So they have to go there to try to defeat the spirit to free her. Then it turns out, though, the spirits were actually just doing all that because they were trying to attract Kitaro there. Ultimately, though, they managed to beat all the spirits again. Then Kitaro and Eiko confess to each other they're in love in episode 6, which I would say, if we don't count series where that happens in the first episode, this legitimately feels like a speed run.
Yeah.
But then we do find out that she apparently was trying to get him into all of that. Basically, the whole reason a bunch of the stuff happened is specifically her setting him up to tutor Yayoi and all of, and a bunch of other stuff, was because she was trying to get him to be interested in all of this stuff again. So it's a little unclear to me whether the confession was supposed to be real. I think it's supposed to be legitimate. It just, she's not above manipulating him in that way. But yeah, okay. I guess the two are together now. So that was our episode.
Yeah. So I thought that, I was surprised. I was like, okay, so this one had her trying to jump off a bridge, and I'm like, okay, are we going to, why didn't we have the warning message at the beginning of this episode? But, it was a little confusing to me. I didn't get how they had fallen in love, especially, I don't know. I just feel like there hadn't been any romance really to set this up. So I'm kind of like, I don't know. Yeah, this episode's kind of meh for me.
Yeah, I'd agree on that. I didn't think them fighting the goat, well, it was okay. I didn't mind the love confession thing, because I didn't feel like it really went, it felt a little sudden, but I guess it didn't really feel like it went against previous things. I just thought the episode was, I guess, okay. I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to describe. I don't, there wasn't anything I really disliked, but there wasn't really anything that was great about it either, I don't think. Okay. All right, and that's the anime stuff we watched. Hooray! All right, I guess we can give our rankings if we want.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure mine out.
So am I, because I always, always forget to come up with one ahead of time. I know what my top two are. I'm just pondering what my third would be. Let's see. Okay. Okay. I've got them now. For third place, this is a little surprising, but I'll do it anyway. One Piece, because it did at least give us some interesting information. Second place would be Full Metal Panic Fumofu, and I like Shangri-La Frontier the most.
Okay. So, despite what I said, a couple of these shows actually ended up better, mainly because Full Metal Panic is ineligible, which I kind of regret that now, because I just would like to have seen how many times it would have won. But my third place choice is Zom 100. My second place choice, despite my confusion, is Snafu. And yeah, first place is Shangri-La Frontier for this week.
Okay, that's all right. That's those. I don't think I really have anything special to talk about today. So if there's anything you wanted to talk about, well, I know there was some stuff you wanted to talk about. Yeah. So you can go right ahead.
Okay, so first I'll start with the other stuff, which is I didn't get around to watching Cowboy Bebop because our schedule is a little different this week than it was last week, so I didn't get around to it. In fact, I only remembered it with an hour to go before the podcast. So I'm like, okay, am I going to try to watch this and hope it finishes in time for the podcast? And I'm like, nah, I'll just skip it for this week. So no Cowboy Bebop live action this week. I watched Sailor Moon Crystal. I feel like the show makes less sense than even the original did. I mean, I did not. There were so many things in this episode I had problems with. I just feel like it didn't make very much sense. And they introduced Sailor Mercury, but the way they did it was really weird. And it didn't make sense. So I don't know how long I'm going to be able to keep up with this if it's this ridiculous. Like, I thought the original was bad, but we'll see. I also watched that show, Banished from the Heroes Party. It was actually a pretty good episode, although I can't figure out why except maybe for wish fulfillment purposes, but why the main female character is just kind of throwing herself at the main male character. It can't possibly have something to do with the size of her chest, can it? Well, maybe it does. So that's that series. So the big news of this week was that I powered through Oshinoko in one night, and I marathoned it.
How many episodes did you go through? I can't remember how far you were. Okay.
Seven, I think. Six or seven. Maybe I watched one episode one night and then the other six the next. But, I don't want to give any spoilers. I just want to say that I really, really, really love this show. And I actually gave it a 10, which I never do, except for things that I really, really love. So, I love this show. It made me cry for the second time, which is like unheard of because I don't really cry that much, but man, whenever there was one episode which had, or no, there's actually two episodes, but it had one of those suicide trigger warnings. And I thought, okay, this is a spoiler. But actually, having that, knowing that there's that warning at the beginning of the episode, then it makes you anticipate what's going to happen. And whenever it happens, it hits so much harder. So I was actually glad they gave that suicide warning because it may have been a spoiler, but it actually may be more emotional because it was like, okay, this is what's going to happen. And it's just wonderful. I love the characters in this show. I feel like every character, especially Aqua, but Aquamarine, that is, not Aqua from Konosuba. I just love all these characters. They're so well developed, and like every one of them is special. And it just feels like they did such a good job of making these characters likable to the audience. So, yeah, I just love this show so much, and I can't wait for July because that's when season two comes out. Looking at how many manga chapters there are. I have no idea how they possibly finish this in a second season. So we'll see. But yeah, I love this so much, and I'll report on it whenever it comes around this summer.
Maybe we could watch. Maybe we could watch it for the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see how things work out there. All right. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't watch the anime, but I did read some of the manga. It's actually kind of funny because I was looking. Because I read it on Manga Plus. That, by the way, is where if you want to read the whole manga series, you can do it on Manga Plus. It's an app. You do have to download it to if you want to read all the thing. It's free to read, although it does have the rule that for an ongoing series, an ongoing series, you can read all the chapters for free. But outside of the first few and the last and the most recent chapters, you can only read each chapter once for free. If you want to reread them, you have to sign up for the subscription, which is only $2 a month. So, you know, it's nothing. There's a higher level.
And the first month's free, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a higher level for $5, which lets you, but that applies to completed series, basically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it's on Manga Plus. So is a lot of other series. It's a pretty convenient service. I don't subscribe to that. I subscribe to the Shonen Jump app instead, which has a lot of the same material. So yeah, anyway. So the point I was trying to make was I did read a bunch of the older chapters when they were coming out because they were being translated on Manga Plus. And since they were really behind, they were releasing them really quickly. They were releasing, I think, 4 chapters per week. So I kind of read them, but then I kind of fell behind. And I looked back to see how far I read it. And I said, oh, okay. So I read the first 40 chapters. And that, by pure coincidence, is exactly how far the anime went, adapted it. Unfortunately, I forgot a lot of the specifics because this was quite a while ago. Actually, I should have checked before, but I forgot. Let me see. When did these chapters initially come out? I'm just pulling it up. Let's see. Oshinoko, they were coming out. Oh yeah, these were originally being published about 2 years ago, so that explains why I forgot a bunch. I should mention it's also published in volume form. The weird thing is that it's actually a different translation than is on Manga Plus because Yen Press is releasing it. I think I saw some people say they thought the translation by Yen Press was a little better, but I can't comment on those. I haven't compared them. In any event,
go ahead.
In any event, those are the places you can read it if you want to do so legally.
I have two questions. One is it over yet or is it still ongoing?
It's still going.
Okay. And the other question is it true that the writer of this series also did Kaguya-sama?
Yes.
Okay.
Same writer. Different artist, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't see many connections to Kaguya, which is kind of good, but I heard a rumor that both Kaguya and Oshinoko are set in the same universe, so I don't know how real that is.
I think they are, but I don't think there's references between them any more than like really like almost shout outs like, okay, this thing that's in Kaguya's universe, that's a thing in this. It does, as far as I know. I'm not an expert on this, but as far as I know, the it's in the same universe, but there's very little different, like there's very little actual references between them. You don't actually see the characters, I don't think, from one in another.
I see. Okay.
Yes. I suppose I'm a little surprised you didn't mention that when you were praising it, the theme song is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, not only bought that, but I also bought the, remember that one singer who did the Tanya, the Saga of, I forget what it was called.
Saga of Tanya the that, Evil.
Yes, he did that song in English, so I bought her English cover of it. There's a lot of English covers of it, actually. I just went with hers because I like her. And but yeah, I bought both those. Plus, I bought the closing theme too because I thought that was pretty good too. I used to download everything illegally. Now I actually try to. I know it's like a drop in the bucket. It doesn't really. This isn't really how they make their money, but I still try to support the actual artist by buying their songs from anime I liked. I bought the whole One Piece soundtrack, the live action soundtrack, that is. So, yeah.
Yes, I'm. Yes, the singer you're referring to, that's Amelie. Yeah, she did a very good cover of the theme song of Saga of Tanya the Evil. Jingo Jungle, that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It is funny to listen to that because I listened to the original and I'm being, oh, that was English words there. I thought it was just a person like making random noises, but no, they were saying, I will lock on love. I thought it was going, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that either. Actually, I didn't realize that even after hearing it. It was only whenever you said something that I was like, oh, okay. So
yeah. Yes, the English was then much better. The English cover said it much more clearly. But yeah, theme song. The funny thing is you mentioned there being a lot of English covers. There's an English cover by the actual original artist.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Yes, the theme song Idol, that was number one in Japan for 22 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it more? Let me I might have been looking at something else. Let me just double check to see what I was looking at. How many weeks was it? Well, it was a lot of weeks is the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely, so yeah, that was a very popular song. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so that's interesting to hear. I didn't have anything else to really say. That's why I let you talk. So
thank you.
So I guess that's it for this episode then. We'll be back next week to talk more about all of these series and hopefully finally find out what the Licorice Recoil replacement will be. I guess we'll see what it is. I really don't have much in the way of good guesses. I mean, I definitely would have never guessed Zom 100 or for actually, I wouldn't have guessed Licorice Recoil, but that's at least one where I could have seen it. Zom 100 was like, oh, okay, that just came out of nowhere. I was not expecting that at all. So we'll see what we get. We'll probably be getting My Hero Academia at some point because a new season comes out. I thought it was earlier, but it's not for about a month. So we'll get it at some point probably.
Yeah, just someone on Facebook said that Uzumakiso might replace it.
Right, we were still waiting for that series.
Yeah, let me look.
That could be a thing. I'm checking. Yeah, it is scheduled for to premiere in 2024, but we don't know when. Considering it is based on a horror series, I would think they would try to do it around October, but.
Someone also said Blue Exorcist season 2 has a chance.
That is a possibility. Blue Exorcist season 2, it's weird because the original anime did that thing, the Full Metal Alchemist thing or the Akame ga Kill thing, where just midway through they just caught up to the manga and instead of taking a break or something, they just kept going and made their own ending. So then the second season of Blue Exorcist just said, okay, you know, the last, I don't know how many episodes there was, but like the last 8 episodes or so of the previous season, yeah, it never happened. Anyway, let's move on. at least the Akame ga Kill anime, the ending, like I've said before, I think I've said before, the conclusion it gives you, it does follow, the manga does the same things in broad strokes, the same general sequence of events are very similar, but there are a bunch of differences in the similarities. One of the big differences is that more characters make it to the end in the manga. So there's that. Anyway, yes, I don't have too much else to say about that. I do feel it does feel like those sorts of, oh, well, we're caught up to the manga. What do we do? Let's make up a new ending. That, well, I was going to say that doesn't happen much anymore, but then I remember the Promised Neverland did it. All right. I don't have anything. So I guess we'll see. Yeah, maybe we'll see Blue Exorcist. I'm wondering if we might get the second season of Mob Psycho 100, because they only aired the first season and then didn't do anything else. That's at least
is it called Mob Psycho 200?
Actually, that's an interesting question. What I think it's just called like the second season, but maybe it does have a different name. Let me see. I'm actually curious all of a sudden.
I'm just making that up.
Oh no, but it would be funny if that was the case. No, it looks like it looks like it's just season 2.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, I don't have anything else to say. There's no point in all this speculation. By the time this episode goes up, it'll probably be announced anyway.
Yeah, it'll probably be announced 15 minutes after we finish recording.
Possibly. That sort of thing has happened before. So, that's it then. For real, we're finishing now. We'll see all of you next week.
Bye.